Pray with me. Father, as we open your word, open our minds, open our hearts. Lord, let us, as we read your word, grow deeper into you and to what you desire from us. Father, we come with open hearts and open minds. We ask that your Holy Spirit will fill this room to overflowing and move through us. And Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. I bet some of you can quote this entire chapter. We're going to dive into it this morning and get a better grasp on what it is that God wants from us and desires from us as we try to be the disciples that He wants us to be and make the disciples that He wants from us. This is an incredible roadmap of which way for us to go. Psalms 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." Stop right there. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. Can you honestly say that? Because it's key to be a disciple of Christ to grasp that verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Because we live in a materialistic society, a society that is never satisfied. It is the blessing and the curse to me of where God has allowed us to live our lives with overabundance of everything. And there's this constant desire for more. Whatever it is, there's a desire for more that will be fed into you by a society like ours. And when you're young, most of you know this, you can look back and see that desire controls a lot of who you are and what you're doing. And then when you get a few gray hairs on your head, you start to go, you know, I don't need all that. Because the more you have, what? There you go. The more you have, the more you got to take care of it. And all of a sudden, you become a slave to all that you were given. And there's something refreshing about going, I got all I need. I don't need anything else. The Lord is my shepherd. We don't know a lot about shepherds. It's not really something that is a profession that was part of our society like it was in this day. This is a shepherd writing, "The Lord is my shepherd." So if anybody knew about being what that verse would mean, it was the guy who wrote it. And David said, "The Lord's my shepherd." Well, the job of a shepherd is really to keep the sheep from killing themselves or getting killed. Right? Boil it down to that. Just to keep them alive. Y'all remember when you got little kids? Real little kids? Really, your entire existence, your job, is to keep them alive. That's it. The Lord is my shepherd. He's going to take care of everything. I'm going to dwell in him, because if I don't have it, then obviously I don't need it, because he would have gave it to me. Right? Let's go on. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. You see, there's a lot about God in those verses, of what God is doing. Not a lot about what we're doing or what we want to do. And I call it God's economy, because it's the strangest phenomenon for us to wrap our head around, because we set, we have this mindset that if I want more, then I work harder and I get more. And it's all about me focusing on what I want and going after it. And in God's economy, if you want something, you have to turn loose of it. Right? For instance, if you want more money, you know how to get it in God's economy? Give it away. Give it away. If you want more love, you know how you get it in God's economy? Give it. If you want more possessions, if for whatever reason you might think you want, you know how you get them? Give them away. Take what you have and give it away. That's God's economy. It never, ever fails. I promise. So, what God wants us to understand is if we want to be who he wants us to be, then we have to focus completely on him and what he's doing and not what we're doing. Because how many times have you said, if I could just get this, right? If I could just be there, if I could just achieve this goal, then I'd be happy. Or then I would be where I could do this. If I could get to this place in life, then I would do more for God. Guess what? You won't. The first part of this is completely focused on being content. We live in a society that is not very content, and not even taught contentment to us, of being able to go, oh, okay, it's good. I read a story this week about a commercial airline pilot, is flying across the Appalachians. And every time he did, he would look out the window and look down. They made this trip so many times, his co-pilot finally looked at him and goes, "What are you looking at?" And he goes, "You see that stream down there?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "When I was a kid, I would sit by that stream fishing, and I would look up at every airplane that flew over and go, I can't wait till the day I'm up there flying those airplanes." He goes, "Now I look down and go, I wish I was fishing." Yep. Contentment is being at rest where you are in the moment that you're there. It doesn't mean you don't have dreams. It doesn't mean you don't have aspirations. It means that God is our shepherd. And today is where I'm going to live and be at peace and rest in this day. Let's keep going. Verse 4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and staff protect me and comfort me. I'm willing to bet everybody in this room has been through some dark valleys. Some of you are in them now. The key to getting through the valley, as many of you know, is not focusing on where you are, but focusing on who's with you. We've talked about it, or I've talked about it, you know, I just have to listen, but I have this eye condition that one of the things is I am incredibly sensitive to light. The other side of that is, my wife will tell you, I can see in the dark, okay? My eyes take in so much light, I can walk into a dark room and I can see what's there. The best part of it is watching her come into a dark room doing this. So many times in life, this is us. When God's saying, give me your hand. Give me your hand. I'm going to lead you through this. Because I can see. And you get focused on the darkness and the fear creeps in. And the worry and the concern of, what am I going to run into? What am I going to run over? What is going to get me? And when God is our shepherd and he says, take my hand. I'll lead you through this. That's how we can go through the darkest of valleys and not be afraid. Fear, I promise you, is Satan's greatest weapon. It's his greatest weapon. It's all he's got. Because he has to make you afraid of something. What could I possibly be afraid of? My Father is the creator of the universe. He made me from nothing. And he said, I will never leave you. So what could we possibly be afraid of? I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and staff protect me and comfort me. God says, I got this. I got this. Whatever it is, however how big or small it is to you, God says, I got it. I want to stop for a minute. I want to play you a song. Just dwell in it for a minute.
Where is God in the heartache? Where is God in the fear? Where is God when it hurts so bad that you can't hold back the tears? Where is God in the sickness that the prayers didn't fix? When it don't make sense, where is God in all of this? He is right here where he's always been. He never left and he never will. Where is God? God is with us. He is right here where he's always been. It's where he'll be to the very end. Where is God? God is with us. Where is God in the ashes of a broken home? Where is God when we lose the ones we love the most? Where is God in addiction when you lost the battle again? When it's all too much, where is God in all?
The key to get through life, the darkest valleys, the highest peaks, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, the key to getting through life and being a disciple of Christ is to look like Him. The more we know about Him and the more we look like Christ because we're a reflection of Him, the easier this life is. I read a number of years ago a story about Dennis Wise. You probably never heard of him. As I'm sure you know, I'm a big Elvis fan. My mother's a big Elvis fan. And strangely enough, she grew up in the time of Elvis and when most, if you were of her age, most people, their parents, oh, Elvis. But my grandfather loved Elvis. And I was about 8 years old when Elvis passed away, I was watching television and newsflash breaks in and my mother was mopping and I said, Elvis died. And she said, what? The world almost stopped for that period of time. That y'all that lived through it, the world just came to a halt. Dennis Wise was a huge Elvis fan. He was about the same age as Elvis at that time. He went and had plastic surgery. Look it up. To look more like Elvis. And had quite a career after that as one of the first Elvis impersonators. If you and I want to get through this life, you have to have plastic surgery on your heart so that you look more like God. There's only one surgeon that can do the job. And sometimes, like Dennis, he had to have multiple surgeries. You and I, when we give our heart to Christ, what we're basically doing is saying, here it is. Do whatever you need to do, whatever kind of plastic surgery you got to take, to make my heart look like yours. When you do that, then you can get the gist of Psalms 23. Look at verse 5. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. In the midst of being overtaken, David is praising God. This psalm was not written in the best of time of this man's life. It was written in the worst of times. And then verse 6, and I bet that you can quote this verse. But if you're like me, I don't know when I learned this verse. I don't know what version I learned this verse. But the verse that is memorized in my head is missing a word. Okay? What I bet you and I learned together is, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Is that close to what you learned? The important word that's missing from my memory is, surely your goodness. Your goodness, there's a difference there, and it's critical, okay? Because surely goodness and mercy of the things of this world, the love that this world doesn't understand. But God's love, God's mercy is something that is so foreign to this world that the only way you can understand it is if God has made over your heart to look like His. Brian and I were talking this morning about how we as Christians try to at times expect non-Christians to understand and act like Christians. And it's absolutely impossible. That is why the world, when you love the way God wants us to love with His love and show His mercy and act like Him, the world can't understand it. And you can't understand it unless you've had a heart makeover. this verse that has become so, this chapter in Psalms becomes so dear to so many of us, is about being a disciple of Christ and following Him and understanding He's got everything I ever need, everything I ever want, everything I ever need to accomplish is following His hand and at His hand. So when I give myself over to Him and I start acting like Him because I've had plastic surgery to look like Him, then the world will be attracted to us because they've never seen anything like it. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for loving us enough to die for us. Father, You are our provider. You are everything that we ever need in this life. And I pray for the people in this room, Father, that we truly be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I have all that I need. Let us be content in You. Let us be made over in Your image, that we could look like You to the world, that we would be able to follow Your commandments of being able to go make disciples because we look like You. Lord, it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Stand with me. As we leave this room, I pray that you would look more like Him than when you came in. Because as we go through this life, and as dark and fearful as it is at times, the Lord's our shepherd, and He'd take our hand and lead us through it. Let's pray. Father, take us from this room and use us to glorify You. Let us be disciples making disciples. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.